The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to a brand new episode of The Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to Real Life, everyone.
What is going on right now?
I think that I'm in love with Matthew Tkachuk.
Are you guys all drunk?
Hello, and welcome to episode 300 of The Real Life Podcast with your host since day one, Liam Horobin. I'm here with everybody else.
Yes, Liam.
Liam, long-serving, yep. Long-time producer of the show.
Yeah. Good to talk to you again, Liam.
Yeah,
yes. Well, we did on Monday.
It's been a few days, but we miss you, and we're happy to have you.
All 300 episodes produced by you, Liam. You've been manning the board since day one. We couldn't have done it without you, buddy.
Yeah, I remember when we were on the big board talking about the show, and now here we are, 300.
Yeah, and here we are, right?
Yep.
4 short years later, the pandemic has been crazy.
Went from one show a week to two, and now here we are, 300.
Yeah, we've been through some things with you, Liam.
Yeah.
It's been quite the ride.
Been to hell and back, and here we are, 300 shows in. We've learned nothing.
We're just gonna do this shtick for like the next 5 minutes, or what is that?
Yeah, well Chalmers, what are your said? We have to give Liam his props for 300 episodes. What do you?
Yeah, for the next 300 episodes.
Congrats on 300, Liam. Woo!
Also, congrats to the HGA Group for being the title sponsor of the Real Life Podcast. The HGA Group.
I heard Liam landed HGA Group.
He did.
That is
true.
He did.
Yep, absolutely true.
Nice.
Liam is the H. Liam is the H in HGA Group.
For the happiness. The HGA Group is the next generation of business services. HGA Group was built to serve you better. So when your business brings you challenges, they can bring you solutions. Shout out to HGA Group and this copy that Liam definitely wrote for me.
Liam does it all. HGA is also committed to helping all of us business owners out there, and also there to support the hockey fan community at large by being the title sponsor of the Nation Golf Tournament.
How are we doing on that, Jay? Is that almost sold out? It's got
to
be.
Yeah, it's getting really, really close. I'd have to get Jared to pull the numbers, but we've had a lot of activity here in the last few days. Liam's been plugging it for us on socials very well. Thank you. We're close. I'll have to get the numbers, but they're probably, let me guess, 4 teams, maybe 5 left. We got a lot of whole activations coming. HGA is very excited about the lifestyle elements of the event, and we're excited to have them aboard for that. But we've got some fun ideas coming your way. August 26th, Cougar Creek, LFG.
It's going to be great.
Well said.
Looking forward to it.
You know what this episode, it kind of feels like right off the bat? You know what it feels like? It could get out of hand, because it's like when you're grumpy, when the grumpy old man teacher leaves and you get like the cool substitute who you know is going to like let us do pretty much whatever we want.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Yeah. Liam, what are you going to make us talk about all about Hyman? Are you going to make us talk about Jujhar? Are you going to make us talk about all that stuff?
Yeah.
I think we just go with the flow. And if that comes up, if it doesn't, then...
Oh my God.
Wow. I got a lot of theories about aliens for you people.
So then can I start off in asking Liam, have you recovered since what happened, the thing a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, the thing.
The thing. Well, I got asked, I think I got 6 text messages after the shootout. Everyone asking me how I was.
Yep.
I got into the office on Monday and all 3 of my bosses came down to my office to check on me. And my dad and I didn't talk to each other for like 30, 35 minutes after the last shot. So it was a tough break, to say the least.
Anybody want to fill a guy in on what the hell we're talking about?
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Chalmers, the thing.
The thing that can't be named, but I'll name it because whatever. The Euro 2021,
oh,
I guess, right?
Liam. Postponed.
Liam, yeah. As you can tell, big England supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Liam, I was right there with you. I had my my old Beckham jersey on with my English flag and my English scarf on. I swear to God, don't laugh. That's not a joke. Me and my sons were watching it, man. Heartbreaking stuff. Heartbreaking
what? You didn't stuff. Know what the thing was and you watched the thing in a Beckham jersey?
Yeah, come on.
He said the shootout. Okay, here we go. I thought he was in like a drive-by shooting with his father while they were driving in the car. Like, I didn't know what the hell you were talking about.
Liam is
how would I know you meant
in the middle? Liam was in the middle of a one and done and got into a shootout.
Yeah, you thought there was a drive-by shooting in Edmonton. You didn't hear about it on the news. And Liam and his dad were a part of it.
Yeah, Liam had no problem jumping on the podcast to tell us about his
participation. Yeah, and Liam, who's part of the Nation team, goes through this, and we don't talk about it until now.
Yeah,
3 weeks
until now.
Still's got his job, though. We're very understanding people of the Nation Network.
Yeah. We'll harbor criminals.
We support a good one and done whenever we see.
Yeah,
Liam.
Only if you get away with it. But if you don't, we'll throw you under the bus.
Yeah.
We know misery around these parts, Liam. If you want to ever, you know, sit down and compare cards of misery, we can go card for card with you and we can just be in the misery boat together.
Yeah, it's tough. We're basically the Toronto Maple Leafs of international soccer. We don't win anything since the 60s, but we talk about it all the time like we won it the other week. So there you go.
What I don't understand is like how in a major tournament like that, and obviously I'm not a football fan, but how a gold medal game or the championship game gets solved in a shootout like that is crazy.
Oh, that's silly.
It's so much it's crazy, better, though, because it's so boring. I love it. I sat there the entire time, but they go the entire 120 minutes, and you're like, okay, this is so guys are like jogging around the field. It's a snooze fest.
If you're going to say that you don't know why it settled in a shootout, then you have to kind of have an alternative. So what would your alternative be? I've heard golden goal, which I guess, but soccer, I mean, look, it was 1-0 for like 45 minutes.
Right? Well, what I don't like about soccer football is that there's a point in that game where both teams are playing for the tie. That whole overtime, they're just playing for the shootout. And that's what kind of annoys me. They're not even trying to force the issue of trying to score.
So what's
my solution, Chalmers? Is every minute that goes in the extra frame, one player comes off both sides.
Five on five. Yeah. Minor hockey week style.
Yeah.
And that's gonna turn into 1-on-1 or 2-on-2.
Hey, buddy, it's gonna get exciting, like, man. And then at that point, the field is so
offside,
big.
And offsides are removed in overtime.
Yeah. And then at that point, right?
The guy who's in the sports
best shape is gonna have the advantage, right?
Did you guys ever see in the MLS how they did shootouts for a bit where they would like actually run like 10 yards, 15 yards, and then they would get to kick it? So, they'd have to dribble the ball up, wouldn't they, Liam? They'd have to actually dribble the ball up and then kick it before a certain spot. It was kind of like a shootout in hockey.
Poor Liam. This is the poor level of Euro 2020 conversation we can have. It's like, what about that game, hey? Yeah, just like this one time in the MLS. You're like, there's nothing the MLS has ever done.
It's like, I went to see this game.
A fucking rocket ship, bro.
MLS I went to see the Drillers
not
one
to,
time.
Not to purists, Charles.
Yeah.
I'm a Brickman fan.
Purists. Liam, I haven't even heard him say, isn't it once.
In
well,
give it a moment. Jeez, you got to let him talk. You're not even let Liam breathe here for a second. Liam,
just
who's
got,
your EPL team?
Just got started, isn't it?
I think he just went and looked outside at the lightning.
Yeah, my whole room just lit up. My EPL team
so did mine.
Isn't even good enough to be in the EPL anymore. My team is in League 2, so that's 4 divisions lower. They just got promoted this year. They're called Bolton Wanderers. They were promoted up into
League 4?
Into League 1, so now they're that's division 3 out of 4. So
is that the same league as Sunderland?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
could you give us like a hockey comparable? Would that be like the Oilers going down to the ECHL?
Yeah, like on the same kind of, that's how the level is. Yeah, that would probably be around the same. And then, yes, four teams go up, three teams go up, and then you get relegated, and it's a mess.
Was your team ever in the EPL?
We used to be like pretty good in like the late 2000s. And then,
oh shit.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. And then when I used to live in England, and then we were actually good, and we were in like European competitions, and then we just got into super bad like money issues, and then everything went wrong. And
what city is that?
You know, you need an American owner.
No, that's who crushed. That's who single-handedly destroyed Sunderland.
You know what every good English soccer team needs? An American owner. Go in and spend that money.
Sorry, Liam, we interrupted you. You're saying?
That's okay. It's kind of by Manchester. So it's like northwest. I think it's maybe like a 45-minute to an hour drive. Maybe not even that long. I can't remember. So it's in that northwest area, yeah.
I understand the pain of relegation because I have two teams because Sunderland Till I Die has changed. Well, suddenly, once you watch Sunderland Till I Die, you're a Sunderland fan. I'm sorry, or you don't have a heart. So I love the people of Sunderland, and I love the team. And I'm also a Swansea fan.
Really? Why Swansea?
You know, all the fans. The fans of Liam's team are probably just like the people of Sunderland.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, but you know what?
They don't have a show.
I didn't see him on Netflix. I'm sorry. So get a Netflix show. I can be a supporter of your team. Sunderland, Netflix show.
How are they going to get a Netflix show when they're in the fourth division?
Come up, baby.
Sunderland's in the same spot, buddy.
The come up, baby. Everybody wants to see it. Oil change.
I'm a Swansea fan because they were in the EPL, and I feel like they were like kind of like the Oilers of the EPL, given the current state of the Oilers at that time. So I try to identify with that. So Swansea, I was my team. I went as far as going to Swansea and going and watching a game. I watched them play Hull City, and they won, and that was great. And everyone in Swansea thought it was so crazy that two guys from Edmonton went to the game, that they just treated us like we were the Royals, and they gave us like a tour of the stadium. The security guard got me a team signed jersey. Like, it was such an amazing experience just because two guys from Edmonton came all the way to Swansea to watch a football game. So it still has a special place in my heart.
You don't have to call it football just because he's on the podcast, Jay.
It's football.
You never call it football. You call it soccer.
It's the Swansea.
Speak to yourself, bro.
It's the Swansea City Football Club.
Speak to yourself, isn't it?
For 300 episodes, we've been calling football, isn't it?
No, we
have. Need an American owner. That's such a good burn.
Yeah, that is good. Although I said, hey, if you're a Sunderland fan, you hate American owners. I'm just saying.
I bet you every European football club with an American owner hates
universal.
Them.
I would say, don't most sports fans hate the owner of their team at some point anyway?
Oh, I think it's just, that's just.
The not way. Mike Ilitch.
No.
Especially if you're an American who uses it as a tax write-off. Yeah, I think you're
not
really
Robert Kraft
at that point. Okay, so let's move on. I want to talk about a couple. I imagine that you were one of the people that was glued to your TV screen yesterday or 2 days ago or whenever the hell that was when your favorite person in the world, Jeff Bezos, took a penis rocket up to what would be considered kind of
oh my god,
it's space light,
dude. So okay, did you hear how Neil deGrasse Tyson said it? So if you took like a globe that was in a classroom, right, and then you put like
penis on it,
like the moon. No, if you took like the moon and you put it in actual space away from the Earth, it would be like a foot, and like Mars would be like a foot and a half, right? And like, our ozone layer is like an inch off the ground, right? Off of the Earth. He said that Jeff Bezos went the equivalent of the thickness of two dimes off of the Earth and then back down. It was 11 minutes. How fucking far can you go? Dude, the biggest, there was a plane. If you look, it's recorded that a plane manned by just regular pilots went higher than that plane. It's not even the highest like commercial or private rocket to go.
Well, you got to float around a little bit.
Yeah.
You get to float around a little bit. People consider that space.
How do you know they didn't just turn off the zero gravity? We're like, Jeff, we're up there, bro.
You think you can just like turn on a switch and go into zero gravity?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know that. I mean, fuck, who doesn't know that?
I think it's cool, right? I think that, like, yes, they went two dimes, right? And yeah, like that's true. But more what it represents is, like, if you think about when Queen Isabella allowed the Nina Pinta and the Santa Maria to come to North America, right? What? That was in, like, what year? Like, 1300 or some shit? 800 years ago?
That, yeah.
Sail all like the way to West Edmonton Mall?
Yeah, sailed right into the mall, landed by the whale tail. And the only people rich enough to undertake that expedition was the Queen of Spain, who at the time I think was the richest monarch, right? And They weren't like, oh, we're going to land at Plymouth Rock, wherever the hell happened. They were like, we're going to go over the horizon. What's over there? We have no idea. Like, if it was like, what's the immediate return of sending these three ships over the horizon? Within the day, within the week, within the month? Nothing. But if you can say to them 800 years from now, what they're going to discover, like, leads to this new age in society where all the poor people from the world go to one part of it, and become the richest country in the world and run things very fairly and standard of living increases and people double their lifespan as a result of American science. Like, if you could rattle off all the results that come as a result of it, that trip, while in itself, like, unremarkable, represents a big thing. And Bezos Branson...
But how does it further that? I understand what you're saying, but, like, we've already been to the moon. We have a space station where people live on it for years. Like,
for sure,
there is
for
things
sure.
happening in space. So what is the significant to, like, somebody discovering a new world that this guy did?
Yeah, for sure. It's
really
a valid question.
Was win a fucking billionaire's race or wasn't even the first one.
Chalmers, this is opening up the door to civilian space travel.
Right. Retail space travel.
The fact that Bezos and now Branson were able to go up into space and come back down on reusable spacecraft that were privately funded, it's like the next wave of ships after the Nina Pinta and Santa Maria were, like, really rich people who undertook their own expeditions to go to the new world, right? So, like, what's notable about this, for the space station, I think it's $7.5 million per astronaut per day to be on the space station. Right. So, like, that is far beyond the budget of any private country or company, rather. It's only countries that can afford it. Whereas now you've got, like, two billionaires, yes, richest 3,000 people in the world, who made their own reusable spacecraft that are ready to go and armed again with fuel 48 hours later. Right. Like, it's a huge leap forward.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's talk. Let's say that. Okay. So let's just say taking civilians into space, not only is it a cool thing to be able to do, to say that you can do if you can afford that kind of a trip. Now, space can become attainable for your average civilian.
But and that happening, though, is the greatest advance since humans learned to, like, master fire, right?
Right.
The impact on our lives, if you look at the impact, like, right now, every impact of your life, part of your life is impacted by computers, right? And when you were born, no part of your life was impacted by computers. There will be people whose lives are impacted every single moment of the day by space in ways we can't even fathom. That currently no one's life, except for five people in the space station costing $20 million a day or $35 million a day, can experience. It'll be crazy being in space.
Chalmers, like, rebuttal?
Yeah. Can I just say that before Chalmers, respond with your rebuttal, Bezos looked ridiculous in that cowboy hat.
Oh, he looked like a divorced guy who was flexing.
Yeah, he doesn't have, like, a watch on the outside.
Divorced dad went to Cook County for a Friday night.
For real.
Yeah.
Did you see his squad, his crew? It was him, his brother, an 18-year-old hedge fund child whose dad had this guy purchased a ticket on this plane from Jeff Bezos, a hedge fund manager. And the oldest lady to go to space. Yeah, but hold on. This guy all of a sudden is like, oh, I've got a prior commitment. My 18-year-old, what is this prior commitment? How fucking important was that?
It probably would kill him. The rigors of going through 8 or 12 G or whatever it is to escape gravity.
Yeah,
his doctor probably told him it would kill him.
The one dude was 82.
That
was a lady?
Lady.
Mrs. Funk.
Oh, her shit. Name is Fuck.
Whatever. She's short. He's wearing an astronaut suit.
And to be fair, I'm not going off the photo. I just thought I read it as that.
I think her name was like a masculine name, like Harry or something, wasn't it?
Well, maybe that's what threw me off.
And it stands for Harriet or something, like something to that effect. Like the name looks like a man's name too.
I'm on it. Hang on. So there was Jeff Bezos, Mark Bezos.
Cowboy hat.
Cowboy Bezos.
Wally Funk.
Richie Rich.
That name is a party.
Wally, that's it. It's Wally.
Yeah. Yeah, all of so that's what I read. Yep.
What kind of an asshole is Jeff Bezos making a 72-year-old Wally Funk climb up all these goddamn stairs to get to a rocket? Probably tired as hell.
She was supposed to go to space and it got scuttled and she got screwed over. And due to politics at NASA, she wasn't able to go to space. So basically the first private spaceship offered her a free ticket.
That's cool. A really nice story. Actually,
he also gave, and this is funny, this is why Bezos is kind of a goofball, but he gave $100 million to two foundations. And he's like trying to be like Oprah with a car, and like it just went over in the room like a lead balloon.
Same with his quote about where he's just like, thank you, Amazon employees and Amazon shoppers. Oh. You guys paid for this.
Oh, it's so tone deaf.
Fuck you, Bezos.
There's already a petition to not welcome you back to Earth, Bezos. There will be a time one or two generations from now where like being in space is like the foundational thing everybody talks and thinks about.
Yeah.
Just like computers now. Yep. And it'll be like a crazy time to be alive. And they'll be like, man, one time this guy invented records sort of at Virgin, and then this other guy who had a cowboy hat on and sold all these shoes, invented spaceships. And in 200 years, they'll be like, thank goodness they did that.
I wonder if Elon's jealous on any level because he's never on his rockets.
Oh, my Lord. When Elon goes to space, it'll be part of an armada.
It'll be more grand than what they did. He'll go deeper.
Yeah. Get these bitches out of the way. Yeah. He's not going into a low suborbital flight, which is still impressive.
Yeah.
Elon's for real, real. Yeah.
Chalmers, satisfied?
Yeah, no, it's good. I started thinking about like the moon. And if you guys ever seen Total Recall, like, I don't think I'll ever go. I don't. Will you ever? If in 20 years, this is like pretty safe. It costs like $5,000. Would you go?
Yes.
If they're ladies with three titties, I am. Whoa.
Yeah. That will happen.
Yeah.
It's just, are you fit? Like there'll be very good reasons, Chalmers, you will want to go to space in the future, right? Yeah. Like if you're
tax free
up there.
All inclusives are going to be dope.
Yeah. Duty free.
Zero G blackjack.
Yeah, the duty-free mall on the moon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All the good deals.
No terrestrial cell phone plans. Absolutely.
Yeah. Your booze coming back to Earth will be dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Moon wine? Moonshine.
Moonshine from the moon.
Yes, from the source.
Only available at the moon.
There is already things that make me want to go to space, and I don't think I still want to go.
Guys, if you could get into a spaceship, which has like a cruise ship vibe, and you could go for 2 weeks out in space, turn around and come back for 2 weeks and see like fucking space and shit up close and have a nice shrimp cocktail. Best believe old man Chalmers is getting this ticket.
Delicious.
Yeah. Jay, you said what? Did you know? Did you see? You know Cheech and Chong? You know Tommy Chong?
Yeah.
Did you see his tweet in regards to the crane operator who was part of the Capitol insurrection who got 8 months for... like his part of the insurgents. He's the first person that's been actually, what is it called? Tried and then sentenced.
Yeah.
They got 8 months. Tommy Chong says, I once sold a bong and got 9 months. this guy did like capital treason, got 8 months. Tommy Chong sold a bong, got 9 months.
Oh,
think about funny. All those people that are in fucking prison for weed for like an eighth.
Oh my
grand,
God.
Some shit like that.
Yeah.
You know?
8 years in a federal prison.
Anyways, yeah, no, I'm satisfied. Anything yet? What else we want to talk about? We should probably.
Thanks for asking about space, Chalmers. Thank you for asking me a question about my interests outside of ice hockey.
Oh, I know how much you love space, and I knew you would watch it. Did you actually watch it? That was my very
first question. Of course. I streamed it on YouTube.
I figured you did.
It looked like a giant dick. It looked so much like a dick, they had to have known and. Had it as an inside joke that it looked like a dick.
It was the joke. It was the joke from Austin Powers.
They did know though, because they would have all these like simulations.
That's a big Johnson.
Yeah,
yeah. That's exactly. It's the joke from Austin Powers.
Yeah. Johnson. No. What is the hot dog?
So
when they're all going through, everybody saying like
Yeah,
Johnson, Chalmers. That's Wiener, what we're talking about.
No, I know. It's funny. It's funny. It's
just, is there a time delay over here?
Went into the bit.
Jesus, Liam. This is where we stop and throw to you and say, "What? Please, God, give us something to talk about."
Is there an ad? Does somebody want to give us money?
Hey, DoorDash.
Simon, welcome. 8 years.
Nope. First DoorDash. Chalmers.
Truth. True.
Ding dong, DoorDash. I am
you the DoorDash need night. To get yourself fed. It is Thursday. You can't cook for shit. Our friends at DoorDash will help you. Not only will they help you, promo code REALLIFEDD, as in DoorDash. REALLIFEDD gets new customers 25% off and no delivery fee on your first order. Are you hearing me, people? You want to go out and get some, I don't know if Arby's is on DoorDash, but I'm going to assume they are.
There should be. They better Arby's. Be. July 29th, Doodle Noodle will be. Best believe.
Best believe.
We're just on.
If you
want
to wait
now.
Until the day after free agency to get some Oodle Noodle via DoorDash, you can do that and use the Real Life DD promo code to get 25% off, no delivery fee on your first order. Thank you, DoorDash. Ding dong.
Ding dong. Here, I'll do a live read for you. Ding dong. Hey, you want the D? You want more D? DoorDash. Ding dong.
Real Life DD is your promo code, everybody.
Ding dong.
I feel like I just broke the Oodle Noodle launching on DoorDash on July 29th, similar to how Frank Saravalli yesterday broke the hockey internet with the scoops. The scoops. He scooped
everybody in the
everything
game.
Everything yesterday.
All 31 teams and everyone in the media. He scooped the entire industry.
Oh, my God.
Before we started recording this, I was on the phone with Wanya and I was telling him as I was live tweeting the expansion draft last night for ON, I felt like Biff from Back to the Future because I knew what was coming the entire time. But during the draft, obviously they can't perform as if they know everyone knows what's coming. So they were doing, they're like, well, I wonder who Arizona is going to get taken or whatever. And it was just, it was funny. Saravalli trending Canada wide all day long.
It was
all day long.
Actually, I think he's still trending right now.
Probably.
He's fired back up because he shot some stuff out today and I saw him trending earlier. He grew over 30,000 followers yesterday alone.
That is so crazy, man.
That is bananas.
And because he's part of us, the tide has risen and he ramped up the following of DFO hockey substantially yesterday too. It's just wild.
Yeah, I was looking at it right now. Went up by a couple. Like my math is bad, Tyler math, but it's at least a couple thousand.
Oh, it's 3,000 and change.
I looked up the term on Twitter, Frank Saravalli, and the term daily faceoff, and the amount of chatter. I felt like, man, that was awesome. For a brief moment in time, Frank Saravalli made daily faceoff on par with the major media outlets of hockey.
So yesterday was expansion draft day, which was the 21st. On the 20th, which was Tuesday night, Frank sends Coombsy and I a text message because we help him out with some of his stuff at DFO, getting it up and make sure it looks pretty. And he just said, boys, I hope you get some sleep tonight because it's going to be a busy one tomorrow. And me and Cam are both excited. But the thing about I'm learning about Frank, too, is he keeps his cards close to the vest. So we got no teasers whatsoever. Yeah. Only woke up the next morning, look at my phone first thing, and it's like, holy shit, we're already rolling. Big day for Saravalli.
Yeah.
And the memes people were making of him, too. The memes were fantastic.
It was awesome. Like, don't invite Frank to your gender reveal party.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so there's my angle. I understand. Like, it's not lost on me how well Frank did and how good that was for you guys to have Frank, and that he has zero responsibility to anybody to keep that kind of stuff secret just to help a broadcast that he is in no way, shape, or form like a part of, right? But there's this, like if they would have known that he was going to do something, they probably would have offered him something to not do it, because like NFL has had a huge problem with like insiders that don't work for the NFL or ESPN, like tipping the picks, right? Saying what the pick, like announcing it on Twitter right before the pick, right?
Yeah.
Now this was an expansion draft, so it was a bunch different. Like trying to pick like an actual draft.
Well, we'll see if Frank starts breaking everything tomorrow during the actual draft too.
Yeah, we'll see.
I know,
He's on the case. Frank did his job yesterday, and there's like six premier NHL insiders, and Frank just did the ultimate dunk and just went to work. Because here's the thing, Frank came and joined us for Daily Faceoff because he recognized an opportunity to build something, an opportunity to be able to contribute something he has control and can help shape. So yesterday was like Frank was on a mission. Like it was like the coming out party of like Daily Faceoff is a legit property. So just
yes.
Like, so he let the world know that like come next season, like he did such a tremendous thing for us yesterday by going as hard as he did to let people know that this like dailyfaceoff.com is yes, it's going to be a tremendous fantasy and gambling site, but like come here for content because you can see how fucking legit it is.
We've been doing this for 14 years, and there's been some insane shit that's happened. No question. Frank Saravalli just owning the expansion draft, scooping it every which way from Thursday in a 360 is one of the highlights for me of the entire time doing this.
Oh, yeah.
So you know how when, like, you've seen this from the sidelines probably a bunch, and I'm sure most of you recognize when it happens, but when you see, like, a Manscaped drop a product and all of a sudden they're like, they open up as a company, they take a market by storm, you know what I mean? And they're on every single podcast. And you just see how something that when something does hit, almost like, you know, like, hey, like Spit and Chicklets did. One day it was nothing. The next a week later, it was huge, right? You're like literally watching it happen right now.
Like Oilers Nation, you asshole. We already did this.
Oilers Nation didn't blow up in a fucking month.
Oh, yes, it did. Well, not in a month, but it blew up. And that was the most magical thing I've ever seen in my life. When people started going to Oilers Nation, I couldn't believe the magic of computers and the internet. It was one of the most insane things.
Yes. That is a prolonged blow up. I get that part. This is like the DFO rundown. Frank Saravalli signed. And that was a month ago?
Roughly about a month ago today.
Now it's the number one sports podcast in Canada. He's owning the expansion draft. He most likely will own the real draft. That is like next level. That's 1 month. Like it's cool to probably be on the inside of it. Maybe you guys are too inside. You're not noticing it.
You are on the inside of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
good point. Really. Well, hey, I'm not disagreeing with a single thing you said.
And this is the important.
Oh, I think it's fucking awesome. It's cool to watch how, like, when you just have, and he, like, he obviously works all the time and is like working really hard, and just to see how it works from the inside. Like, yeah, it's fucking cool to watch him blow up and just bring DFO with them, bring you guys with them, bring us with them, bring, you know.
And this is why we had to pounce on the opportunity of that small window where Frank was a free agent. And, you know, our business dad, Chris Labossi at Altitude Investments is like, you got to do whatever it takes because something like this doesn't happen very often. And to push us to go and do it because we're seeing what that do it bringing someone like this unlocks. It rises the tide for all of our sites, so it helps all of our team sites gain momentum, which is great. It allows us to build the business that we want to build with Daily Faceoff. It's going to allow us to bring keep building a really good content team, and it's going to help even draw more attention and focus to like our fantasy and gambling initiatives that we're doing. So like, it's crazy to see. It's surreal
because
like we're also in the mid, like you're right, Chalmers, we're also in the middle of it. So like yesterday all day, like I must have talked to Frank 10 times yesterday about varying different things while all this shit is happening. I'm like, holy cow, like I'm kind of part of like in the middle of this, like what the hell's going on? So it's crazy and you get kind of lost in it, but like to see for us, like it was the coming out party for DFO because people started talking about it. And are now fully aware of it and now can have an expectation of what it's going to be, which is very important for us.
If you want an expectation of what your manhood could be, our friends at Manscaped have a 20% off promo code for you. It's Real Life Liam. Maybe if you want to get trimmed up, look fresh for the rest of the summer, head on over to Manscaped, get the Lawnmower 4.0. Again, promo code Real Life gets you 20% off and free shipping from our friends at Manscaped. There you go. Clean yourself up. Don't be disgusting and sweaty. Liam, what's next?
I guess we should probably talk about the Oilers news if you guys want to move on to that. There was a pretty big press conference with Holland today. Lawson, the two guys were not qualifying. Hyman, too. Where do you guys want to start? Should we start with Lawson?
That one hurts.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. That one hurts.
It hurts. It hurts for, like, I'm going to miss Adam Larson. I loved him as an Oiler. I just, what really is the concern to me is that we offered him the same money, I think even maybe a year longer, and he opted to go to Seattle.
So an expansion team.
So I'd like to know a little bit more there. Like, that's what hurts. 'Cause like, if it's a culture thing or something, then that's very scary. I know, like, there's some narratives and storylines about maybe why he wanted to change the scenery because of some of the hardship he experienced here, without getting into too much detail. So if it's around that, then I can totally get it. But it's just like, that's the concern. So, like, now I remove the human element and now look at the team. We have got a Grand Canyon size hole in our defensive core. For the defensive side of our defensive core, who's defending the blue line? Nurse, and that's it. Is Nurse going to play 60 minutes?
He's going to have.
He's going to need to.
Yep.
All right.
Better work on your fitness, pal.
Oh, I think that's the brilliant thing, isn't it? Like, nobody's talking about any defensive defenseman coming. Like, Barry will be good to come, but then how does that affect Bouchard? And is, are we just going to rely on Ethan Bear to be our second pair of shutdown guy? Like, it's.
Maybe it's just like and bringing Barry back is one thing, but like he and Larson are so opposite, polar opposites in terms of style of play.
No,
that can't be it, you know. And in Holland's press conference today, he said he'd like to add another D or two, but that he wasn't going fishing for the big names and on defense. And it's just like, okay. So
I'm okay with that, provided like he's pretty strategic on who he brings on. Like, there is still some names out there that we could sign, and I'd be happy with. I really want to know what he's going to do. So clearly he's buying out James Neal, and I'm hoping he is finding a way to trade Koskinen so we can open up just a wee more cap space.
Well, and you can't just have the same goaltending duo, because Mike Smith signing 2 years, 2.2 per.
Yeah, which I still don't get. Like, why so much money?
I don't get the second year. He's fucking 40.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with the second year. You're right. Like, his age is a bit of a concern. Like, but like, it's, I just don't get the money. Like, if it was like 1.8,
it's not a huge deal. But like, it's just, it seems needless, I guess.
Well, hey, Mike Smith deserves to be re-signed by the Oilers.
Agreed, 100%.
Right. So like, we have to be very clear there. So like,
yes,
like, so this is not like, I'm excited for how he's like, if he can be a, you know, a pretty solid version of himself of last season, this season, we'll be very, very, very happy. But we do need a 1B for him. Is it Stalock? It actually could be Stalock.
Maybe.
We haven't even given him a chance. He's shown that he can defend the net. It's just, he hasn't had many opportunities over the last few years.
I don't think that would be the worst tandem in the world either. I think they just can't go back into the season, like we said, with Koskinen and Smith. It just doesn't make any sense. They tried to do it last season, and it worked with one of them, and the other guy, every time he went in goal, the first shot of the game was going in the back of the net.
Oh, my God.
It's not a good confidence thing for your team when that's happening almost every game.
And you're paying $4.5 million for that.
Yeah. Like, could you just imagine, like, the Oilers would never say it ever in a million years, but could you imagine what those boys felt like on the night against Vancouver where the first four went in the net?
You're
just
like, my God.
The fuck is this?
Probably the same way Italy felt when the first ball went in the fucking net, you know what I mean?
You know what they need is an American owner, eh, Charles?
You know what they did?
They need an American owner. That'll right their ship.
Chalmers is making fun of an England fan when he said he was a turbo England fan for the game.
Yeah.
That's a fun joke. I'm not making fun of him. That's a funny joke. Hey, we all get, you know, yeah, that the, when you get scored like Koskinen does on the first shot, it sucks. But you know who can overcome that? Italy. That's not to Liam. That's to me, too.
Italy.
Come on.
You know who can survive in Koskinen in the net? Italy.
They are. Grow up. Wow.
Oh, God.
Koskinen could be the Italian goalie, or do you imagine this instance Italy has a hockey team? How does this work?
I'm just saying that maybe if the Oilers were a little bit more mentally strong, which they got because now they have a winner like Duncan Keith on the back, that maybe they wouldn't shrivel up into little pussies the minute they get fucking scored on in the first shot. That's what I'm saying.
Duncan Keith playing a net or what?
We
No, but when we get scored on, he has. You guys listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. Do I speak English on this thing? We were mentally weak.
Is he speaking the Queen's English, Liam?
When we get,
I'm not sure what it is.
When we get scored on and Koskinen lets it in and you say it's bad for our confidence. Well, listen, if you're strong mentally, you can overcome that shit. I'm saying we weren't strong mentally, and maybe having a guy in the room that's won cups is going to help with our mental strength.
Well, here's what we do. If we take a team that
has
supernova stars on forward, and then it kind of trails off after that, and we got a weird off-grid signing in net from Finland who has moments, and a real old dude, and a D core that's got some great 4-5-6ers, and then like a missing 3-4 pairing, is not lose a guy to injury, let your other best guy leave for fuck all, and we're re-sign the goalies. Boo.
My problem is there's a lot of the same pieces seemingly coming back.
Well, you know? we got to just be patient a little bit because there's still some development to happen, and then we can really do a deep dive and assess and either praise or shit.
That is rich.
Give it 2 weeks because the free agent window hasn't even opened
yet. True.
All the stuff that he's planning can't happen yet. So, like, we don't even know.
We'll see.
Frank will break it, but I've
preached patience from the very beginning. I say patience when you beak on Duncan Keith signing, but patience.
Well, I'll still beak on it. I like Duncan Keith. The trade sucks. You could say that.
Yeah.
Just like if Zach Hyman signs for 7 or 8 years, I like Zach Hyman, but I don't like the term of the contract. That's fine. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, so well, like my
no, you got it. You got to give shit about deals that you don't like. I understand that. It was still again my thing about I read way too many tweets that were like Duncan Keith is not a fucking good defenseman. He's a piece of shit.
I won't.
And
talk.
I was just like, the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
No. I'm with you.
Now if Zach Hyman signs for 8 years and people are like, Zach Hyman's not even a good hockey player. He's not worth that money.
Well, why are we even entertaining a fucking trade and sign?
I don't get it. Why can't you just wait 6 days?
And then they're saying that we're going to give them the fucking Klefbom contract. Like that would be such a mistake by us.
Yeah, because all of a sudden Klef comes back, and oh shit, they've got a cost-controlled defenseman.
Like, but we need the LTIR buffer.
Exactly.
That's $4 million.
I don't know if you guys heard Ken Holland trying to explain how LTIR works today in his press conference, but it was an adventure, man, because I don't even like that. I don't understand a word.
The best way to do it is to put him on LTIR once the season starts, not before.
Yeah, spend to the max, then LTIR. Yes, that would have been way easier than whatever he said. Go ahead, Tom.
You hear Ken Holland talk a lot more than probably most of us because you watch those pressers.
Yes.
Did you see Greg Popovich's press conference about the Olympics just a little bit ago?
I did not.
He was talking about, the question was basically like, you've blown out these teams. They just had lost to Nigeria. And the question was basically, has the world caught up to you since you used to blow out these teams? And he was just like, that's disrespectful. We didn't blow out anybody. That's not how it's been. It's disrespectful. And he sounded like a guy who back in the day when Pop gave answers, you kind of were like, ah, that's just Greg Popovich. And he was like, because he was winning and shit. But he sounded like a man who had lost his mind because their average margin of victory was 38 points. They blew out everybody. It was, and he just was going off on a tangent. Is that what Ken Holland sounds like to you these days? Because you've made reference to like at least 2 or 3 times where you're like, this guy sounds like he's just not fucking there anymore.
No, it's not that. So I've transcribed a lot of press conferences from Oilers GMs going back to Steve Tambellini in my time in the Nation. And it's just, first of all, their style of not answering questions is always very different. So with where Peter Chiarelli, his style was choppy little sentences that didn't get you anywhere. And it just moved away from the question. That was his thing. Ken Holland is... It's like he's like your grandpa that wants to answer the question, but he doesn't give you anything. And he turns it into an area he wants to. So he'll just say a lot of words that don't mean anything. I think that's just his style. So in terms of of losing it. It's not that. It's just he doesn't give you anything, and his answers are frustrating. And for me, trying to transcribe it, it's extra frustrating because sentence A turns into B into C before he even gets to the point on A, and then he goes into something else, and then he'll loop back around to A, and that's frustrating. And so for a situation like Ryan Rashog asked about the LTIR for Oscar Clefbaum, and his explanation of how it worked was just so choppy. Transcribing it was impossible. And that's what makes people go, what the fuck is he talking about? It would just, there's no, it's not MACT. MACT was very direct. Here's the answer. You liked it or you didn't. That's just not Ken Holland style. That's all.
Jay, do you think that Ken Holland is firmly in control of this offseason, or are things going sideways from the plan?
So,
absolutely.
Once again, give it 10 days.
Give it 10 days.
Give it 10 days.
Is the name of my fourth album and my third sex tape.
Then we'll know, because it's Duncan Keith using full control over. I am happy Keith is an Oiler. Mm. Acquisition cost is definitely to be questioned. Mm-hmm. Losing Larson, not his fault. Nuge signing, well done. Hyman is going to be interesting to me because we better not do a sign and trade. That makes no fucking sense to us. We should, yep. If we sign him for 7 years, I hope the AAV is palatable. But I understand that we've got a window of 4 to 5 years. So that's really all we care about for Zach Hyman. Will he be the Zach Hyman we want for the next 4 to 5 years? If he can be, then this is a very good step for the team as we enter into our window. 29. Then the remaining questions are who else is he signing? How are we going to address the, like we have to fix the Larson loss, and we have to establish a little bit more bottom six depth. Yeah. So we got to give him the time to do it because his window to do all these things hasn't really opened up yet. So that's what I'm going to say. And then based on how he does, then we can praise him or shit on him.
I think it went sideways because I just believe, like the Duncan Keith thing, it is what it is, right? The trade wasn't great, but it's done. It's in the books. I don't think he expected, based on the press conference today, I don't think he expected Adam Larson to walk away for nothing.
Yeah,
I would agree. That's how it seemed. So I think if you don't think that goes sideways,
but that's out of his control. That's out of his control.
Yes. Well, he said it too. It's like, how do you lost Clefbaum and Larson both essentially for nothing, two big pieces on your defense. What do you do? And he says, come up with a new plan. And that's all he can do.
So sure. You could have offered Larson maybe $1 million more a year, but then that's then putting a bad target on Larson.
I wonder how much of the Larson thing too is just like, you know, he was always the butt of the one for one joke and it wasn't his fault, but it's his problem.
I can't imagine that Adam Larson enjoyed his time here. There is a lesson for us to learn from Adam Larson collectively. And that is like, if you shit on a guy on the way into town, put a lot of pressure on him, you know, and then he takes the opportunity to leave. Like that's not a good outcome for anybody involved. It's like a Joffrey Lupul sitch.
Like I loved the trade. I loved Larson.
Love Larson.
So now let's be critical of Larson. He does have back issues. He was able to play the full season last year. Mm-hmm. For this past season, which is great, but he struggles with back issues. So that could be a ticking time bomb for someone else. So like, if I'm going to try to pull out the positive of this, that could be it. And it's who is coming in to fill his shoes. If we think his shoes are already filled, we have a fucking problem. And Ken Holland is blind. But if he goes and addresses it, then I'm like, okay, I'm okay with this so far. Let's keep going. Let's keep drinking this Kool-Aid.
Can I ask about Zach Hyman one more time?
Yes,
sure.
Because I think Jace, I don't think there's much to add to the defense. I think that's pretty perfect what Jay just said there. But with Zach Hyman, like I was just looking at his stats, and I'm sure you guys have done a breakdown of this, but he is getting better. Like every year, he's gotten better, and this was by far his best points per game that he's ever had. Mm-hmm. I know it was
good line mates.
He's apparently a fantastic teammate, great in the community.
Yeah, good culture. I mean, I like that.
He's a guy who has a sponsorship deal, like who has commercials. You know,
he does.
He's writing children's books.
He writes children's books.
Come on,
Yep.
I swear he also has a dog food ad.
Sure.
An ad for dog food. I think I don't know.
But Bagmelt's got a dog food ad.
Yeah, I was upon a time. I did, yeah.
I always notice the guys that when we play against them, who I think like play way above what I thought they were, or if I had like a guy like Josh Anderson or Mia back when he played like 2 years ago, he was like an oiler killer, right? And Hyman always played well against us. I thought he was good. And yeah, I never really
we need that style of player. We need that style of player. And then the other thing we don't know is that, you know, Frank was talking about there might be interest in trading Zach Cassian. Now, I don't know if we, I still want to believe that there's a player there, but if there's not, then that's a good thing for us. So like if we're opening up all this, what's that?
Isaac.
We only have room for one Zach.
We've only got room for one Zach. This is the one Zach club.
Okay. So let's roll. So then like maybe like I know Holland poo-pooed the Hamilton thing, but like if there's a situation where Miko is off the books and Cassian's gone, why wouldn't you take a run at Dougie Hamilton?
Yeah, of course. About Zach Hyman Chalmers, it's like I'm really excited about him. Where I'm getting nervous is the term, because he does have some injury issues. It's just his style of play. He's a bang and crash guy, and that's tough on the body.
Also
his career high is 21 goals, 41 assists. You know, that's a lot of money for a guy who's
like 62 points or 41 points.
41 points. Look, sorry.
Yeah, but
look how many, like, only his first season did he play all 82 games. And then the next season he played like 73 and then 51. 71,
51, 43.
Yes. So, but the points for games always going up. That's the good thing.
It's like I said, I'm very excited about having him by, you know, I was reading some tweets from Steve Dangle earlier, and by all accounts, this is going to be a player that's going to do well for the Oilers on the ice, in the community, and in the dressing room. But again, it's just you can be nervous about
him and Mike Smith have to make peace.
You know, I guess I'll give this analogy. You guys worry about the money, but when I worry, I like the Oilers like I liked my parents when I was 13. I want a new bike and I want some new hockey stuff. I don't know what your financial situation is like. Just handle it. I don't need to know. I don't want to know. I just want a new bike. I want a Zach Hyman. Fucking handle it, front office. I don't care about the numbers. Make it work.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
I like the analogy. I like everything you're saying.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Chalmers definitely nailed it.
You're delivering the mail. I'm going to call you UPS.
Like, it just, UPS. I guess it goes back to what Jay said, right? Because they need more depth in the bottom of the roster. Overpaying a guy $200K here, $100K there, $1 million there, it starts to add up, and all of a sudden your quality of those bottom of the roster players starts to go down. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're signing, you know, scratch tickets like Joakim Nygaards and
we need to go to market and find some Corey Perrys, like some vets sure. And bring that in league minimum.
Some greasy guys.
Yeah.
Greasy you're guys that can if, do it, you know?
If you're saying if we wouldn't have had a cleaning lady every 2 weeks, that I might have gotten a better bike.
Yeah.
If we're not wasting
that's exactly what I'm saying.
Maybe I care now. No, I'm just kidding. I still don't.
Maybe you weren't buying that non-store brand cottage cheese, Chalmers. You'd have had a bike.
Ooh, love. Who likes
you know, you had to go with the brand name butter.
Nobody eats cottage cheese.
I eat cottage cheese. Delightful.
Oh, God.
I did when I was on my, like, protein guzzling days. You know,
Are you a cult or something? Why would you eat cottage cheese?
Protein snack.
It belongs in lasagna, and that's it.
Oh, yeah. It's delicious. A little salt and pep in there.
Ugh.
I used to mix it with yogurt.
I do that too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would go dry curd only.
Oh, of course. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What is this?
I can't think of something more undesirable than sour milk with chunks in it that you eat.
Well, you eat cheese. What the fuck?
Yeah,
cheese. I like true. Cheese.
Do you like sourdough bread?
Surrounded. I don't drink the feta water in the feta bowl.
Wow.
Like,
oh, you know what? I can drop the
alcohol fermentation.
The ultimate food
fermentation.
The ultimate food nastiness bomb, Chalmers, that ends every discussion like this is, do you eat eggs?
I don't want to hear it, but yes, I do.
Well, think about what a fucking egg is. And you're like, what? Well,
I know exactly what an egg is.
I guess I'll just eat two chickens. It will never exist. Nummy, num, num. There's nothing more disgusting than an egg, and we smash eggs.
I enjoy the yellow part more.
Yeah, man. That's the chicken.
Knowing exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah, fertilized before. That's like,
but there's nothing really more disgusting than sitting down to a plate of another animal's eggs, and yet because we're conditioned to think it's another animal's milk.
When I was in the Philippines, I ate balut, which is the duck embryo that's formed, and then they boil it like a hard boiled egg.
It's gnarly
to look at, man.
What's foie gras? Isn't that like duck, baby duck?
Foie gras is duck, yeah.
A duck fat.
Mushed up.
Duck, yeah.
Duck fat. Oh.
Mushed up in a pate.
Yeah.
A pate.
A pate. You know what I thought? Just unrelated to
I feel like Liam might eat some pate at his
Snooty
parties.
On a nice toast square. Snooty
parties. Did any of you sports happen to notice Jordan Eberle being picked up in Seattle?
Yes. He looked handsome in his new jersey.
He looks old. It looks like time is marching on and our dear Jordan has been caught up in it.
Yeah, he's seen some shit. He's coming back from the war. Brendan Fraser, what the fuck happened to that guy?
Well, he got too rich, bro. You got too rich and too successful.
George of the Jungle got after it, you know?
That guy fucking parties.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
He looks like when you saw Gary Busey when he wasn't crazy, and then like 5 years later, Gary Busey.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
And you're like, oh my God, what happened to that guy?
Post Malone 1 year before he was famous, Post Malone present day.
Yeah, pretty
much. Oh my God, yeah. Well,
that was a long pause. That tells me we're running out of steam.
Yeah.
Liam, you got any other topics you wanted to discuss today, my boy?
Can I just say, Liam, you're way better than Tyler Yaremchuk.
Yeah, you didn't cut us off once.
Nope.
Liam won't even mind that I'll tell you about Twig and Berries. Huh? Our friends at Twig and Berries, they have got all of the essentials that you need. Personally, Liam, I know you'll enjoy this. I am wearing my nutsack underwear right now, and I feel sexy. I feel contained. And you too can feel this way if you use the Nation 15 promo code at twigandberries.ca. That'll get you 15% off your order. Again, Nation 15 at twigandberries.ca. Get 15% off your order. Local company, look good, feel good. Thanks, Twig and Berries. Back to you, Lou.
That was great.
Thank you.
I love Twig and Berries.
The 300 episodes, I think it's just good to let you guys just go off and talk about whatever you want to do. You just don't need to cut everybody off. Let's just go with the flow.
Well, this is so unlike you,
that's
Liam.
The thing. Yeah. Finally, someone who listens. Yeah. Yeah. Someone who listens.
It took 300 episodes for every member of the Beatles to show up. Now we're ready to record our goddamn hits.
White album is coming.
Mm.
Well, I think that's probably everything we've got covered, right?
Oh, I thought we were about to go off into the distance and talk about some far out shit. Like Bezos on his rocket.
Well, we did. We led with that.
This is a great episode. 300 boys in the bag.
300.
That's why Two Turn Larry gave this a 5-star review. Ooh. And the title of this review is just, "Hey Chalmers, when telling a story, you don't need to say, and I'll tell you why. We all know you're going to tell everyone why." That is a 5-star review from Two Turn Larry.
All right. How are we doing? Oh, shit. We have to announce the winner of the golf bidding.
What is it?
We have one?
Yeah, we're supposed to announce it today. We did some call to action. Who's got access to... I actually have access to it.
Hang on. I think I got it too.
I'll buffer for you. Congratulations to the nicest man in sports for winning a championship.
Oh.
Mm.
What
was that?
That guy is the best, well-rounded in terms of on the off the court, on the court, human athlete ever.
Who are we talking about?
What I like, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And the only reason that I love that guy, man. Like, you see his 60-minute thing. You see how he's handling success. You see that he didn't go, that he stuck with a small market team to win a championship. There's so many different stats, like winning defensive player in the year and MVP in the playoffs. Only like two other players have ever done that. It's like Michael Jordan and like Magic Johnson or some shit. I don't even know, but he's in like this rarefied air. But the one thing about him that I love the most is that there's no fake bone in that man's body. He's always genuine, and you can tell. LeBron James, the thing I don't like about him the most is He's just a fake. He's a fabricated human being. He will never give you his emotion. He will never. It's always a show, you know, and there's so many people like that. And
Giannis, can you give an example? I didn't watch it. What did he do?
Just the way, okay, the way he just walks around, just like after the game, you know, he's going over to his teammates and he could care less if the camera's on him. He's like grabbing them by the face and being like, we did this together. And like, like he goes to like, I think it was Chick-fil-A to get food afterwards and he live streams it. And just the way he talks to the person, just the way he acts, like he's just a young kid. The fact that 12 years ago, he was selling bootleg CDs on the streets in Germany or in Greece,
Athens, yeah.
And that him and his brother were sharing shoes to play basketball. And the fact that when he was a rookie for the Milwaukee Bucks, his family needed money. He sent them his whole check. He didn't know how to break it up. He didn't know how to use American banking yet. He sent the whole check. He left himself with no money to get to the arena. So he would try and walk to the arena where fans would like see him and be like, there's numerous stories of fans picking him up and driving him to the arena. And he basically didn't have money for a cab. This is his rookie season. You know, like this guy is just genuine in everything he does. He probably does so much stuff for charity that you don't even know.
Yeah.
Is he a really young guy?
Yeah, he's like 24.
He's super young. He's like 24 years old or something. Yeah.
And he could have signed, like his contract was up, and he normally, this is where a guy like this signs to a super team and goes and wins two or three championships.
He but said, because, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, because Milwaukee took a chance on him, he's committed, and how the community's got around him, he's committed to Milwaukee. And just like his love for the city, love for the fans. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to do things the right way. So he stayed in Milwaukee and won it. And he's like, I don't care if I don't win another one. I just, we did it right. We won it this way. And like, that's the way it needs to be.
You're just, cool. If just for anybody that doesn't know him and anybody that doesn't watch basketball, like you're really witnessing what you're witnessing a good one right now. Like a truly well rounded, like basketball player, humanitarian, human being, just like everything, man. He is the total package. And the fact that it came from absolutely nothing, started playing basketball like literally 14 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the first time he picked up a basketball. And now he is one of the greatest players in the world. Like
you're
witnessing something. Nice, dude. And for 7-footer who can do the shit that he can do and don't like, the injury that he suffered in like game one or game two, I don't remember which one it was.
Oh, it was in the series before. It was like game
four. The series
four,
before. Sorry, you're right. You're right. That some of you guys don't come back from shit like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it all about his knee. He didn't, you know, all these guys, they always bring up their injuries. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't do that. He went his press conference after like game six, I think, or no, game five, when it was 3-2, he was just like, listen, I don't, they were like, basically, why don't you have an ego? Like, he's like, I don't look at it that way. He's like, the ego is what happens in the past. He's like, I'm only present in the now. I don't care about what's coming. I don't care about what's happened. I'm present in the right now. And it's all I'm focused on, hyper focused on it. It's
unbelievable.
Just, yeah. It's so
he's
good.
Awesome, mindful.
He's you'll love this guy.
And I'm so excited for the city of Milwaukee because they would have probably just seen over the last, like they haven't won a championship in 50 years. And they probably would have just seen anyone who was good get poached by the team.
Yeah.
They had. And I just feel like I fucking love everything about it. Good. Like Milwaukee deserves that. And good for Milwaukee for creating the situation for a guy like Giannis to want to be a part of it and welcome him in. And like, cause it has like, there's so many things involved to make something like that special happen. Well, and I love it.
I so agree. And the fact that basketball in the past 5 to 7 years is being just absolutely ruined by the super team. And I don't really care. Like I got no dog in the fight. I like to see trends in what's happening. And like, you know, the big three in Miami was the real, you know, the real first, like, okay, this is a super team. And then, you know, the Golden State Warriors. And then it's like the Brooklyn Nets are the super team of this year. And to have just two teams that were so far from a super team, right? Had a star or two on each team and just like Phoenix was like last place last year. They definitely were last place like 2 years ago. Milwaukee, one star, a bunch of guys who he's elevating. You know, it was great for basketball. And there's a lot of people that were going to, that said right before this series started, it's going to be the worst fucking series ever in basketball. The worst finals in basketball history. And it turned out to be like one for the ages. Giannis Antetokounmpo did things in this series that like only two other people in the history of basketball have done. And one of them is Michael Jordan. And it's incredible.
No Suns in four then, I guess, huh?
It was Bucks in six. Bucks came back down 0-2 and won.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, the minute they went up 2-0 and LeBron James decides to fucking tweet through his best friend Chris Paul saying 2 down, 2 to go, championship emoji, hashtag champs. They didn't win another game. LeBron.
That's that Kobe clip, man, where he says the job's not done.
Job's not done, man.
LeBron's not done, man.
Can't stand how fake that dude is. Like, everything is so fabricated with that guy.
It's all about the bigger Jesus statue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see who's the third city that comes up with the biggest Jesus. Mega Jesus, if you will.
Probably Miami. They steal everything.
Oh, absolutely.
The Vatican should do it.
It'll be in Miami, and Pitbull will show up for the opening. Everybody be excited, Mr. Worldwide.
Nice.
Right now, Tyler would be like, "Can we be done?"
Yeah, I hate to say this, but we got to wrap up. Because Remchuk's so disciplined and annoying with times, I booked myself for a 2:30 meeting that's on the West End. So I've got no time.
You do not have the time.
Who won the bidding?
Your Remchuk's. I have to text your Remchuk because we're getting it through different channels. He said Fanny Pack Freddy.
That's what I heard.
Fanny Pack Freddy should be the winner.
Did he say Fannie Mac Eddy, the CEO of Fannie Mac, the large mortgage house in the U.S.?
Yes.
Isn't that Fannie Mae?
Yeah.
Ah, that isn't the right guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes Fannie Pack Freddy is the winner.
And I'm looking through I can't find.
So reach out to us, Fannie Pack Freddy. Find us. You won.
Yeah.
Maybe Remchuk's making this up because he's on vacation and he wants to fuck with us because he knows we like Liam way more than him.
Yeah. Way more.
So maybe he's trying to mess with us. So if you are real, reach out.
Yes.
Can't wait to golf with you. If not, we'll have to announce the next better, I guess.
Yeah. Your Remchuk also.
Shocker how this draw just fell to shit.
Your Remchuk also texts. He's like, "Hey, for ON Radio tomorrow, I'm not around. Obviously, do you guys mind if we record at like 4 a.m. so I can be a part of it?" We're like, "No, get out of here, Remchuk." Yeah.
He decided to leave at the worst time possible.
Yeah, you took your vacay in the busiest week of NHL news, my boy.
Yeah,
you were being replaced by
Liam. I'm leaning on you. Wrap this up.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's it, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. And.
That's how you do it.
We'll see you. A true English gentleman.
Same time, same place next week. See you later.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Real Life Podcast. Don't want to miss any of our nonsense? Hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.